When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
I just don't like it as a pick at all. Today, next week, next season, probably ever. I don't like it as a pick.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Hello, everybody. My name's James, and for the benefit of those listening back to the audio, you're listening to Ask James, my regular YouTube live stream, where I welcome questions from the YouTube community on anything football related. It's just gone 12 p.m. on Thursday, May the 2nd, and as per usual, over the next 45 minutes to an hour, I'll be answering through those questions in order of submission. I've got nothing particularly that I want to cover before I do so. So let's get straight into it. Sam Emerson says, afternoon, James. Looking back at KDB's minutes over the last five in the Prem, they seem pretty consistent. Would him over Vardiol be a good way to differentiate game week 37 versus the top 1K? I think we could all look at KDB versus Vardiol and go, cool, thumbs up, mate, go KDB. There's a couple of problems with that. One, that probably blocks you into double defence of a team that you don't want, because many of us are struggling for defensive assets, whether we are or aren't bench boosting in 37. And of course, if you go with a KDB, then you're also going against one of the template five. I can't say I've looked at the ownership too much this week, but the template five feels very much like Foden, Palmer, Gordon, Son, Fernandez. So you're going against one of them as well. Now, obviously, if you go in instead of Foden, then it's just a straight KDB versus Foden, and it's over a small sample size, three game weeks. Listen, we could end up with a scenario here where Callum Wilson is a substitute for Newcastle in three consecutive games and scores off the bench in all of them and somehow manages to outscore Alexander Isak, right? Small sample size, any shit can happen, frankly. You want to go KDB, I won't particularly talk you out of it. It's probably just more of an awareness of what you're going against, because you're going to cut something out of that template, and that's absolutely fine. And what are you trying to get out of it? Are you trying to cash an individual? Are you trying to increase rank? It's considering those sort of things in that answer as well. Daniel Cullerton says, afternoon, mate. Do you believe that the league fixtures are computerized? If thus is the case, why do you never get any big derbies on the first or last games of the season? Now, I can answer that. It is computerized. And one of the reasons you don't get that is because it's requested that you don't get that. So there are certain things that are requested. All clubs can make individual requests. So those who are doing particular stadium work could perhaps ask that their first game of the season is away from home. It won't always be adhered to, but it might be certain events going on in certain cities. I can't really think of a particular example, but let's just say, I don't know, there's a big event going on in Brighton one weekend. So Brighton say, look, can we make sure that we're not at home on that weekend? These requests are all considered. And in terms of having no big derbies, that will be a given from the Premier League that you're not going to have like Tottenham, Arsenal or Everton against Liverpool in game week one or game week 38. That's part of the requests of the league and also, I believe, on police advice. And it's also done that there's no, I think it's games between the previous season's top four, I think, on the first day or the last day. I think that's correct. It might be top, I don't think it's top six. I think it's top four. So there's certain requests go in. I mean, even if you look at the fixtures in game week 38, there aren't any that are of a, let's say, a high profile nature that would be, you know, a concern from a police viewing standpoint or anything like that. There isn't a single fixture you'd look at that would be a concern there. And I think that goes into a lot of thought, particularly for the last day, in case you've got two teams with a rivalry who both have, you know, one's fighting for the league, one's fighting to avoid relegation, something like that. The reason why I always said, despite the info was given, that Everton and Liverpool in 37 just wouldn't make sense, as it's panned out, it probably wouldn't have mattered. But yeah, they try and keep those games away from each other in game week one and game week 38. So yeah, all these requests go in. And there'll be further ones like that, like an awareness of trying to make sure, I think you haven't got two teams are in Europe where possible. They'll try and limit the amount of playing each other in between European weeks towards the end of the season, for example. That's what I'd highlighted, you might remember, around FA Cup quarter final stage, that there was a slight concern about Arsenal and Villa, because Arsenal could have played in Europe on the Tuesday after and Villa in Europe on the Thursday before. It's not always possible, but they'll try and avoid those sort of circumstances. So there's a lot of information goes in. Then the computer will work that sort of thing out. It'll also make sure that obviously no team has like three home games in a row. Yeah, it's very much done by computer. Most of us could probably do it, but won't have all the information, obviously. FPL team says, hey, mate, I hope you've been keeping well. Do you think Elise to KDB is worth a -4 this week with a possible captaincy? Part of me feels like Palace could score a few past United, some on the fence. Yeah, I mean, you probably know, Pete, me and Suj have both been pretty clear for a week. And I think going into last week, that Palace, we think, will beat Manchester United on Monday night. It's not just getting the KDB over Elise for the -4, is it, right? It's also effective -4 over the player you'd be taking the captaincy off. And I think you need to ask yourself if that is worth it either. I think you'll find with kind of expectation that someone like Elise would do well on Monday night, plus many viable captaincy options this week, that's a probable no from me, mate. CM Punk 2310 says, how's the mood like before the derby? Fortunately, I feel like Spurs will win comfortably since Orange 11 is more stats than our fit 11. I'm expecting a lot of academy lads to come in for us. Well, I think Pochettino's has got a fit 11, hasn't he? So, but I don't think it's, you know, Alfie Gilchrist will play, but he played at the Emirates last week. So he's been established within part of the first team squad set up for the majority of this calendar year. Our confidence is on the floor, it's worth saying. I'd pick up your point on the derby, though. This might be yours, it's not mine. My derby was on Sunday, mate. So it'll feel different once I get in the ground, that I'm right next to the Chelsea fans tonight, obviously in the Tottenham end. I would literally be right next to them in the upper tier of the shed. It'll feel like a, you know, a bit of rivalry at that stage, but just feels like another game at the moment. So like, there's no nerves on this tonight. Plus, we haven't got a lot to play for. We're almost definitely going to qualify for the Europa League and the Europa League only at that. You know, should we pull out a miracle and, I don't know, take 4 points from Chelsea away and Liverpool away, and Villa slip up at Brighton, and there might be a debate to say he's back on, but it needs a minimum of that, I think, for it to even be a conversation. Otherwise, Villa will take it away. And as said, I think on our Patreon podcast yesterday, in fairness, me and Suj think it might be done this weekend, as in actually confirmed, that's it, Villa fourth, over, done, finished. Won't even be a conversation this time next week, possibly, if Villa win at Brighton, and we think they probably will. So, there's no, it's just another game. Please, there's another game. Just get the Arsenal thing out of our system. Don't want to get beat tonight because there was a bit of a rivalry. Want us to win. I haven't actually seen Tottenham win at Stamford Bridge. Not many Tottenham fans of my age have. There's only a lucky select sort of 3,000 or so who have. I wasn't one of the lucky ones back in 2018. So, yeah, but it's just another game tonight with, frankly, for both teams, less importance than would ordinarily be the case. And that might lead to a surprise result even as well. Daniel Callerton says, what are your thoughts on fan channels and do you watch any Spurs ones? Fan channels have their place. If they didn't, then, you know, well, they're popular enough, aren't they? So people obviously watch them. No, there aren't any Spurs fan channels that I watch. If you clip me a 60-second clip of expressions oozing, then like that's cool. I like him. I'm actually going to tune into his stuff. No. I listen to one or two Tottenham podcasts occasionally. The Athletic's View from the Lane is very good. That's my kind of go-to one if I have the time. Fan shows, no. Most are cringe. That might not be your opinion. It's certainly mine. It's not a Tottenham thing. It's not an Arsenal thing. It's a just an everyone thing. I mean, most of them are cringe. Most of them are obviously very biased. They are tailored towards fan bases. You know, why would I watch an Aston Villa fan channel? I have no idea what that's like, for example. So they're tailored for a certain audience, unless you're AFTV, in which you're tailored for everybody. Don't watch much of it these days. I'm sure their viewership's gone down quite a lot the better they get. So yeah, they've got their place, otherwise people wouldn't watch them. And I'm sure they're good for the majority of fan bases who are interested in them. For me personally, no. And the Tottenham ones that are out there are cringe. There's a lot of good Tottenham podcasts out there, but the fan channel ones are, you know, it's a bit too cringe for me. James, when are you going to wear a GoPro at games? Like, I'm not. It's not happening. CM Punk 2310 says, bench one of Gordon, Jackson, Bruno, or Son. Reckon you'll be asked this a bunch of times. Yeah, and I must be honest. I think the answer to that might lie in what I see tonight in terms of Jackson and Son particularly. The chances are, this is the truth. Don't think about it too much would be my best advice, because it's one game, right? It's not like shall I buy Bruno Fernandes or Anthony Gordon over 3 weeks? Now, one, there's a money decision to be made there, and there's other factors at play as well. But on 1 week, I mean, listen, we could all bench Gordon because he's got a really bad away record and he's playing a Burnley team that's, I guess, going to go for victory against Newcastle at the weekend, and Gordon might be ideal for that on the counter-attack. I think Palace will beat United on Monday. It doesn't mean that Bruno Fernandes won't have a day like he had at Bournemouth, where it almost becomes like a one-man show to keep them in the game, and he returns well. Sonny away to Liverpool, fixture-wise, looks like the one to bench, but exploit that channel in between, whether it's Quansah or Konate and Trent. If Son leans out to that side, which he probably will, he could have some joy. Nicholas Jackson, again, might come down to mood of how you feel after tonight, but arguably he's got the best fixture of the four. And West Ham, admittedly, normally after European games, but have taken a couple of slappings this year, right? Six against Arsenal, five at Fulham, five at Crystal Palace. Not sure want to miss out on that. So the answer might lie somewhere tonight. If you ask me to absolutely definitively lock in for me now, and I own all four of them, I'd probably be benching Son. But I'm quite down on Son at the moment. It doesn't mean necessarily you should be. And even I've said all week, I think we might do something at Liverpool on Sunday. I've just got an inkling feeling about it, actually. Probably more so than tonight, really oddly. But I think Son will, if I had to lock it in now, it would be Son. But also ask me the same question tomorrow and you might get a different answer. That's the reality. The chances are whichever one you leave on the bench is going to return. And it wouldn't be that much of a surprise if all four returned, right? A lot of us have got this sort of headache this week. Jerry Domiu says, hello, James. Rank Saka, Foden, Palmer, Isak for captaincy for non-Haaland owners. Okay. I think for Palmer, there should be a little bit of factoring on what happened the last time Chelsea had a big game on a Thursday and then played on a Sunday. So they played Manchester United on a Thursday. He got the hat-trick, didn't he? And then just the assist at Sheffield United, and he was also withdrawn. And he's not normally withdrawn. Let's put it that way. So there might be that to factor in, but then there's no other fixture afterwards for Chelsea to particularly think about. It's not that Palmer can't play 90 tonight and then 90 on Sunday, but you'd imagine he'll play the whole game tonight. That's a little bit of a factor going into Sunday, but so's what I've just mentioned about Jackson, and West Ham have taken the odd slapping this year. Foden at home to Wolves is good. We understand he missed out at the weekend because of illness. There's zero expectation that he wouldn't start. Good fixture for Saka. It's on the coattails of Watkins for highest scoring player in the game. I don't actually think he'd be the best Arsenal choice this week. I think that would be Kai Havertz personally, but reasonable. And you know, Arsenal will go for it till the end, I think, unless the game becomes comfortable. But even then, no game for 8 days afterwards. No reason to think Saka would be withdrawn early for any reason. And Isak is on fire, isn't he? And as said with Gordon, it might just be despite Newcastle's, let's say, concerning away form, which has been a little bit better in 2024 than it has been across the season. And I imagine it's better when Isak plays as well. He's a little off-putting from the captaincy. I think from them, again, you might get a different answer from me in the morning. But I think from them, I'd arguably go Foden. But they're all good options. And, you know, there's others. Haaland, obviously, you've mentioned. I've mentioned Kai Havertz. Mo Salah, I think, will start on Sunday. Will be an option, you know, against Tottenham. Lots of good options this week. It's a good week. I think Haaland will be the most popular by a distance, and that's highly likely who I'll go with. But there's a lot of good alternatives this week, and you can bet at least one of them will do really well, I think. Jerry Darmer, you also says, between Leeds, Southampton, West Brom, Norwich and Hull, who do you think clinches that final promotion spot? Well, the first thing to say is it's not a done deal for Ipswich Town yet. You just need a point against effectively relegated Huddersfield on Saturday, and we would imagine that they would do it. It would be a major shock if they didn't, but it's not quite done yet. From the others, I think that's quite open. Norwich have got a really good home record throughout 2024. I know there's plenty of our championship followers on Patreon think that West Brom might have the best manager of that lot in Carlos Corberan, but they've had some inconsistent results over the last couple, but I think it's probably not helps that they probably thought they'd be comfortable into the playoffs, and now there's a little bit of nervousness going into the final day. Southampton can be very good, but can also be got at, and it feels similar for Leeds. What I would say is, I think you've got a nice little balance there where all of them will be a little concerned about each other and all of them will feel like they can do damage against each other. I would be surprised if Hull got into the playoffs if they were the team that got promoted. It's quite a young team. But it could be any of the others. I've got a, I don't know, a slight inkling for West Brom maybe, but some of the recent results have been a bit more concerning. Over the course of the season, Leeds have been the best of that, haven't they? But some of the results, such as Friday night at QPR, are massively alarming, aren't they? Just give the benefit to Leeds, I think, is probably the sensible answer. CM Punk 2310 says, also, what's your memory of the Battle of the Bridge? It was on this day 8 years ago. Was it really this day? Blimey. Hopefully that's lucky for us tonight. What 2-2 draws my prediction as well, right? God, memories of it. The first thing to say is that it wasn't defining. You know, Chelsea won the league for Leicester. No, Leicester were winning it anyway. It just happened to be the night that it got confirmed. The main memory is we should have had about 3 or 4 players sent off. That's not an exaggeration. It's fair to say we lost our heads. But then also, Tottenham had very much been considered a soft touch for pretty much forever. And you could certainly criticise the behaviour that night, but it didn't show softness. Probably overly aggressive. We really missed Delhi that night, really, really badly. I think we'd have probably won the game if he'd been available. He got rightly suspended for an off-the-ball incident in the game before that and ended up playing Ryan Mason as a 10. Wasn't great. Chelsea deserved their leveler by the end. We played well first half. We were a good team at the time, and Chelsea had obviously had a really bad season, but showed their quality. There was a mental block on that Chelsea team that season for one reason or another. Played well second half, and then to be honest, once it went 2-2, it was only going to be one winner, and it would have been Chelsea if there had been one. So, yeah, it's not remembered in my mind as like something definitive, because actually, us drawing with West Brom the week before was the more definitive game that completely finished things off. So, yeah, it's a game that everyone will will remember, Premier League classic, I guess. I kind of feel sorry for Leicester. It's the one that people talk about most in the running, rather than some of Leicester's really good results, such as the 4-0 against Swansea, for example. Gets forgot. Oh, Leicester won 1-0 every week. I actually had this one day against Swansea where I had to turn it off because I absolutely destroyed them. And looked like a very, very good football team that day. So I think that's a little bit of a shame for Leicester. Daniel Cullerton says, none football related, but have you got any specific countries or places you'd like to go to in your lifetime bucket list? Yeah, but only for football reasons. I think Argentina, because I'd love to go to Boca River one day. Japan fascinates me. But no, I've spoken about this a lot in the past. I've been to most of the places I want to go to because I've been lucky enough to follow my football team doing it. I don't have anything like that. I mean, it's the way my brain is wired in terms of a football sense. Jerry says, with how things unravel in game week 35, do you see the relegation battle happening once again in game week 38 for the third season in a row? It feels like this weekend could be pretty definitive for that. So, you know, if Burnley were to lose to Newcastle and Forest win at Sheffield United, then that gap's going to look really tough for Burnley to bring back around with goal difference as well going into 38. That would probably kind of kill off their hopes. But I think they've lost like 1-8, Burnley. Although I think it's only 2 wins over that spell as well. It's about 5 draws in there. But that's good, right? There's finally some consistency that we sort of waited all season for them, expecting it many times, and it never arrived. It's here now. It feels like the game at Kenilworth Road Friday night and the game at Bramall Lane Saturday would be definitive. From that perspective, you know, if Luton get beat by Everton and then Forest win at Sheffield United, you've got to expect that Forest are going to do the job from there. And I still think Forest will do the job. I think Everton being safe in a roundabouts way has kind of helped Luton for that game Friday night. It's worth saying Luton have got 3 games that are very winnable. West Ham away is challenging 37, obviously, but West Ham that's unlikely to have anything to play for. Similar with Fulham 38. These games can go either way on those narratives. Forest will feel like they've got to win at Sheffield United Saturday. And that's probably the biggest game of the lot. Their away form has been sketchy since promotion, it's very fair to say. And who knows what we get from Sheffield United now that they've officially been relegated. They've actually shown offensively that they've got some capability recently. So my instinct is it won't make it to final day. It would be brilliant if Burnley were within 2 points of Forest at least. Would be great for the drama of it on the final day. Sam Megginson says, hi, James. I'm buying white this week for either Gusto or Aitnori. Would you sell the other from -4? Nothing stands out, but could be down to 10 as I have Callum Chambers last bench. Thanks. So, ordinarily and nearly always, I would say don't take a -4 for a defender. But the fact you've got the double game week afterwards on a player that is definitively going to do absolutely nothing for you might be helpful. The answer there, Sam, possibly lies in whether you're using the bench boost or not. If you are using the bench boost in 37, there's a case to say get something done if it improves your team this week, 37 and 38. If you're not, not sure. It's beginning to look like Gusto might not be available for the weekend, but I don't suppose you want to look at Aitnori going at Manchester City this weekend either. Might be defined by your strategy, Sam, but I'm not a fan of -4s for defenders, particularly in a season where, let's be honest, hardly anyone's keeping a clean sheet, are they? JS says, hey, good morning. Who is going to the Europa Cups from Premier League? I think it'll be Tottenham and Newcastle in the Europa League, and I think it'll be Manchester United in the Conference League. Top four. JP says, does Gallagher suit Spurs? Where does he play and who's he play over? So if Tottenham did buy Conor Gallagher, and understand Chelsea have arranged a big banner for Conor Gallagher tonight, which absolutely couldn't possibly backfire this summer, he would be Tottenham's right-sided eight. Almost definitely. That box-to-box player, he's got sensational energy. We can all agree on that, even though there'll be different opinions on his ability. That's where I imagine he would play. I imagine he would become first choice in that position. Do I think the transfer will happen? No. JP says, who will get more minutes, Barnes or Wilson? I think they can both be good differentials over Newcastle defence. Well, Barnes is more likely to get the starts at the moment, it feels like. I just think probably Sheffield United was okay after Palace. It's not overly risking. The spacing at the end is Saturday, Wednesday, Sunday, so that's a little better as well. But there is, of course, a chance that perhaps, say, for Manchester United away, he would maybe get left out. It's difficult to foresee Wilson starting at the moment. Zaha's been used with Isak. So from a minutes perspective, you're going to get Barnes. I think that's the answer I've got to give. JB says, hi, James. I'm bench boosting in 37 and currently have White and Gabriel. Would you sell either for a double or accept one less fixture versus Manchester United away, plus hopefully a 38 game that matters? Yeah, look, I certainly wouldn't do anything about it this week. I mean, that goes without saying, and you've got no plans to do so. So this is a how do you feel next week about it situation. Look, if Arsenal were to get shocked by Bournemouth this weekend, that's possibly going to change your opinion, right? No, I don't think that will happen. I'm sure you don't either. But if it did, there's no point overly thinking about that this week. You're certainly not going to deal with it this week. So see how you feel this time next week. My instinct is, unless there's something you've got real confidence in, no. But we might sit here this time next week and have real confidence in something. Something might open up really suddenly where you go, oh, okay, yeah, that's the one because, I don't know, he's got injured. Luke Shaw suddenly makes a surprise appearance on Monday night or something. Mind you, that would be more conflicting because then you'd probably have concern about Dalot or Wan-Bissaka going forward and maybe even Harry Maguire. But it might be something this week was, okay, right, that's become clear. That's going to be the one now. It might be that it's a Manchester City defender, for example. You might be to get a couple of injuries and suddenly you go, bang, John Stones, no one owns. Now, right now, I can't say yes, can I? MM says, best captain. I presume that's FPL related, that question. And you guys will know my consistent opinion on this. Don't really want to argue with the big robot when he's got a home game, unless it's against a very good opponent. And although Wolves have impressed this year without Craig Dawson, yeah, I'm not arguing that. No, it'll be Haaland for me.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Bets1604 says, hi, James. What keeper should I transfer Neto out for? Preferably looking for a double game week keeper. Cheers. So, again, importantly, like, who's your other keeper? Has that got you something this week? For example, if you've got Petrovic home to West Ham this week, then you probably feel pretty comfortable, right? If you're sitting there with Edison as well, information here is quite important, isn't it? Because it might be that the word last night was that Edison could even be back in training and might even be available this weekend. It might even be again that wait a week and Edison might even be your answer despite my protestations against him. We might sit here this time next week and it might be, yeah, do you know what? Nick Pope isn't going to play this season and you can go for a Dubravka. Getting Vicario next week will look better than it will do this week. So if you can roll it over, mate, try and do so. If you're buying this week, I'm very tempted to say David Raya. Yeah, generally. Great 36 and 38 fixtures. It's not improbable that he keeps clean sheet in 37 at United. They're the best defensive team. So if you need to move this week, like, don't just focus on 37. Look at the other weeks as well. King of Mandalore says, hi, James. I have Van Heck, Cher, Gusto and 8 Nori in my team. What defenders should prioritise bringing in for this week and for game week 37 bench boost? So Van Heck is a big problem. Cher, I don't think, will be a problem. Gusto, we're not sure. Norrie's actually okay for 37 as a single game week player at home to Crystal Palace, as long as he's fit, because he himself obviously may have picked up a problem at the weekend and we haven't got the info on that at the moment. Definitely wouldn't sell Cher. I wouldn't be surprised if he plays tomorrow. Van Heck is the one you probably want to bin most, but have you got the money to get to anything? It's a tough position, isn't it? It's a tough position. Shares the one that opens up the money, but that's the one you can't sell unless there's info that suggests he's a major problem. Gusto's not going to do a lot for you money-wise. Neither's Van Heck. It probably means sorting out 8 Norrie to sort something else out. But where you go is tough. I mean, if you don't have 3 Newcastle already, and the sensible one to tell you is Dan Burn. Trevor Chalobah at Chelsea might also sort out a problem for you now because of other players' injuries. There are a couple of players that I'd be considering. It's rough. So what you got there, you need to do something this week. Can I get that? Keep Cher unless there's news that suggests he's in big trouble. Van Heck is definitely going to go, but you might want to... 8 Norrie is going to feel useless for you this week, probably. So that's arguably first one out the door. But then it's minutes this week. Where, I'm just trying to think, where can you get to from Van Heck or Gusto? Emerson Royal is probably going to... You'll get that info tonight. He's probably going to play now. Will be cheapish if you don't have 3 Tottenham. But it's bloody scraping a barrel, that, isn't it? Similar with sort of Igor Julio at Brighton. Dan Burn, I think, in terms of in and around that value, if you can, mate. JP says, should I sell Barnes to Foden or KDB, bench boost 37? Yeah, I'd probably be considering it, mate. Preference for me is still with Foden. It's primarily for financial reason. Benedict Troy says, hi, James. Have Pickford in Sky and we'll be moving him on after Luton. Who do you like as a replacement? Thinking Vicario to get 4 fixtures, but City, Newcastle, United keepers also interesting. The first obvious thing to ask yourself is, are you going to want any of them for captaincy? So, for example, if you don't have a Manchester United asset going into Monday, then Onana is, I just think it's naturally going to be your answer, isn't it? If you already have Bruno Fernandes, then that's obviously less of a problem. Don't think you can go to Bravka at this minute. Arguably to be the one, but again, unless Eddie Howe gives us some definitive look, Nick Pope isn't going to play this season, that's off the table. He doesn't make enough saves either to figure that is a true ceiling on it. I'd still consider Raya, you know. If you're not using anyone for a captaincy, I still think it's worthwhile. From a fixtures perspective, again, if you could know that Petrovic would play the games and Sanchez wasn't going to get back in, arguably that on Sunday would be the best. Little bit of advice I'd give you is any indecisiveness on that, don't buy a goalkeeper on Saturday. Wait for a choice on Sunday or Monday. Just in case something else happens Saturday and it might, oh, I've got more money to play with or something like that. Or you might even have less, maybe. Birth Media says, hi, James. Thoughts on a hit for Watkins? Brighton and Liverpool in his next 2. Little differential. Great asset. Would it be taking a hit for him at this moment under strategy? No. No, personally. If you want to, be my guest, mate. He's been the best player in the game, isn't he? So I'm a bit reluctant to say, don't buy Ollie Watkins. Would I consider taking a hit for him? No. No. More likely to buy someone like Chris Wood this week, personally. Not that I could get to Jackson to Watkins, but then I wouldn't be considering a hit to make it happen either. Dermot Whelan says, hi, James. Hope all is well. Is selling Salah for Foden worth it with current form? Bench 1 of Solanke, Garnacho or Son? I think Solanke at Arsenal, though, isn't it? It probably is bench Solanke from that. I mean, I'd actually start Son first of the 3 of them, actually. Salah to Foden? Probably no. And watching Tottenham tonight might help give you the answers to that question. Because I do think Mo will start Sunday. And when it's that close, can you wait and have better information, be better informed for the double game week? Feels worthwhile. And Mo will be a good differential this week. I'd probably be keeping him. Shivam says, Richarlison or Bruno for the run-in or both and play 3-5-2, sacrificing Jackson. Arguably both, and sacrifice Jackson, maybe. But again, sorry, this is a shit answer, but it is true. Like, if Richarlison doesn't start again tonight, like, how do you feel? The thing is, clearly, he's not injured at this minute. But again, going into the Arsenal game, he played 25 minutes since game at 25. What is his match fitness levels like? So at this moment, like, if you have to invest this way, I prefer you went Bruno. Richarlison could look great this time next week once he's got a couple more games under his belt. That's how it feels. It's part why I took the choice to leave a Tottenham spot open in case I wanted to do something like that. So if you asked me to be definitive on that at this minute, I'd have to say to you, Bruno, it's a good fixture for Jackson at the weekend, though. So I wouldn't go chopping it up just for the sake of it. There's a lot of people who are going to end up making moves, I think, for the sake of making moves, and be a bit cautious about that, I'd say. Greg Frost says, any chance Maddison gets a start tonight? Sounds like Kulusevski is likely to play in the 10 and Richarlison up top. I mean, I've not seen anything in terms of ITK rumour speculation going around, Greg, but in terms of any chance, not that I've been looking this morning, if I'm very honest with you. I mean, I'd say there's more than a chance. My expectation would be that he'd still start tonight, actually. But if there's ITK going around, I've not seen it at this stage. Perlez Penn says, hi, James. Bench one of Diaz, Son, Isak or Bruno? I certainly wouldn't be benching Isak at the moment. No way. Diaz against Tottenham. Yeah, I wouldn't want to bench that either, I don't think. So then it's Bruno versus Son. On the way that I think the games might pan out, it feels like Son's the right choice, but it also doesn't feel like the right choice. I feel like that's a me thing. And I think the more sensible call is to possibly say play Bruno. Again, I think a lot of people will know what their answer to these sort of questions will be after tonight. And I imagine a lot of you will probably be concluding tomorrow morning that you want to bench Son. LH says, James, would you go Nunes or Solanke to Jackson tonight? Or where would you go 3-5-2 at the moment, mate? Cheers. Is this a Sky question? I'm going to assume this is a Sky question. It must be a Sky question, because just unless you want to make an early transfer. I would probably go Jackson under your circumstance there. Who's been out of that? The only thing, again, how many transfers you got left? Here's the thing. You could use Solanke Saturday and then move that to someone else Sunday. Whereas Nunes playing Sunday, that's not happening. So how many transfers you got left? Have you got May night play for Monday? Because then it might be right. Keep Darwin Nunes for Tottenham. Then Darwin Nunes to Fernandes on Monday, assuming this is a Sky question. So consider that. Like, if one's got to stay till the end, you'd arguably rather just keep Solanke for his consistency and knowing what you get. Panos says, hey, James, would you do Solanke to Isak from -4? Other transfer would be Salah to KDB. Again, I'll repeat what I said earlier. For those who've got Mo, my instinct is to say keep that this week if you can. The Solanke to Isak move from -4. I can understand why it wasn't made last week, considering Bournemouth's home fixture as well. Yeah, I'd be tempted, possibly at this stage. Again, if you're holding on to a mini league position, maybe not. If you're looking to chase it, yeah. But then also, if you're chasing it, the chances are your opponents have already got Isak. So again, it's circumstantial to what are you trying to achieve. Matthew Kroll says, would you bench Garnacho, Hoyland or Gordon? Hoyland from that list, I think, Matt. Yeah, generally, it just doesn't get enough chances, right? He's playing against a back three Monday. It sounds silly, but yeah, it's probably the one I'd do. Owen Wilson, are you confident for tonight? What would your predicted 11 be? Am I confident? No. As I said earlier, I got this inkling about the game on Sunday. Tonight's a really weird one to predict because we'll give up chances. Their weakness has been taking them. They looked extremely good on Saturday night, but are clearly very vulnerable themselves defensively. Couple all that together, it makes it a really difficult game to predict. And I think most Chelsea fans would would probably agree with that if they were being truthful as well. It does make it an awkward one to predict. And one team either way, one way round, I think could end up winning comfortably tonight. I'd be very surprised if that was us, but it could happen where we just exploit deficiencies of them and then maybe get in front and actually ironically sit off them a bit and then just punch away at them on the counter. We could have some joy with that, us on the counter. How often do we allow ourselves to do that? Not often. What would my predicted 11 be? Emerson in for Davis. Bissouma and Saar need to come back into the team for me for legs and energy. In place of Højbjerg and Bentancur. As I said, I've not seen anything going around this morning about Maddison, so I think he'll start. I think it could yet be that Johnson would just start off the left with Richarlison still a sub. That's probably my expectations. But I have to say, this game and also going into Sunday, there's been more confusion than normal about what Ange might do. And there's a number of things that might happen tonight. I mean, listen, if it was me tonight, I'd just throw Mikey Moore in the team and get on with it personally, because the rest of the season doesn't matter that much. Frankie says, thanks for your help this season, mate. Sitting at 50k on top of all my mini leagues, second place has KDB. Do you think getting him in is a good tactic? Would require minus four, would be for Sun. I did wild card in 35. I think the relevance of, you know, if the mini league placing is what matters to you most, the relevance of how much is quite important here. You know, are you 40 points clear? You're probably going to be all right if you've got a fairly template team and stuff. Santa KDB minus four. No, I don't think so. Again, sorry, but see how you feel after tonight. If Sun looks good tonight, you're going to go, I ain't doing that. Chances are, like I said, you possibly go, I want to do that. I don't know, though. I don't know. I'm not big on it. I've got to be honest. Owen Wilson says, who would you vote Spurs player of the season? Good question, because I've done it the other day. And what I would clarify before I answer that is, I don't think there has been an outstanding Tottenham individual player this year. You know, if you'd have asked me to vote in mid-September, I would have said, you know, give it to Bissouma now, when he's not played well once since then, hardly. I think there are a few candidates. Vicario, for first season, has done really well. Destiny Udogie as well. Mickey van der Ven, I would have discounted because he missed too long, I think, with injury, in sort of the second quarter, if you will, of the season. But really good as well for a first season. Pedro Porro. Would have been second in the vote for me, I think. I didn't go. I went for Romero. Is who I voted for. Because when I thought about it more, other than his absolute idiot moment against Chelsea, he's consistent as hell every week. I think we've had games recently, he's been one of the few that stood up when we've had bad moments. I think majority of you would have seen that again on Sunday. So I voted for Christian Romero for our player of the year. There wouldn't be any attacking player to consider for that award, which is the irony when we're so open defensively. So it would have only been the defensive players, actually, would have been in consideration. And I think Papsar would have been in the running a couple of weeks ago, but it's been in and out of the team the last month or so. So discounted. I think that there's, when I thought about it more, I've already mentioned the other guys, Vicario, van der Ven, Udogie, Porro, basically first season. I realise we bought Porro January last year, but also when you factor in that most people thought he wouldn't be able to play the position, or he won't be able to play right back in the back four, or he won't be able to move inverted into midfield. I think from that perspective, that's why he would have been really close for me. I'd be really honest, if he'd not made that back pass against Newcastle, there's every chance I would have voted for Porro. But he just lingered at the moment of voting, and Romero's performance on Sunday was on my mind when I got the email the other day as well. And so for consistency across the season, I went for Romero, but there wasn't an outstanding player. You could make a case for four or five of the defensive guys would be worth a shout. and it could be any one of them. If Sun wins it, which he may well do, just because that's how the voting works on these things, there's every chance I'll just walk straight out of the ground. JP says, why are Chelsea Spurs games more feisty than North London Derby recently? I think there's a bit of a narrative around this because the two teams obviously had the Battle of the Bridge, and then the next season finished first and second. They played each other in an FA Cup semi-final. So it was kind of real big games around that fixture at a point where Arsenal at that moment were behind. But I'm not sure that that is true now. That might show tonight. But I wouldn't necessarily say that they are now. There was a period where that was happening quite clearly. I'm not sure that's the case now. Joe Kneecap says, hi, James, for 37, should I go for Edison Ortega and Richarlison or Onana, Vicario and Foden, KDB? I'm currently top 1K, bench boost 37. You're asking the wrong person when you're at that rank, mate, because that'd be a nosebleed for me. Look, realistically, at this moment, what can you do with the Edison Ortega situation? Nothing. You've got to avoid it. You've got to avoid it at this moment. So by default, it becomes the other one, doesn't it? Aidan F says, hi, James. Selling Van Heck, bring in Walker or Vardiol. I feel Walker may be more nailed for the final four games, although Vardiol has a higher ceiling on bench boost 37. You've answered the question already, Aidan, with everything you've said is spot on there. So the answer lies within you. Like, what are you worried about? Are you worried about appearance points, or do you want the guy that's more likely to get you the goal? I mean, I know what the answer to that would be for me. It would be Vardiol. But you might be really concerned about the minutes aspect of that, in which case Walker is the safer pick. Daniel Cullerton says, what are your thoughts on the new spending cap coming into the Premier League? Me and Sujal will discuss at some point on money in football. I'm fairly sure about that. But my initial thoughts, having done a little bit of reading on it on Monday when the news first come out, and I must have kind of ignored anything that's come out about it since, was, I don't know, I'm a bit conflicted on this. I'll tell you why. So for those who don't know, the idea behind it is you'll be able to spend 5 times the broadcast income of the team that finishes bottom. So last year, the broadcast income of the team that finished bottom was Southampton, 103 million, times that by 5. So the amount of expenditure you could have would be 515 million. Now, that's a lot. The only two teams that would affect at this moment would be Chelsea and Manchester City. Chelsea would need to rein some money in. Manchester City would be under that bar, but obviously would have to be quite careful what they're doing. So on that basis, it feels like something that's opening the water and allowing, this is what a lot of clubs are saying, is, well, allow us to push and spend, but not put it in a position where clubs can go astronomically ahead of everybody else. You know, City will always be able to spend more. I think we all understand that, but not to an excessive amount where they can just go, yeah, there's 500 million for Mbappe and it doesn't matter. Like, they wouldn't be able to do that sort of thing. So it feels like it's just reining in those clubs a little bit just to make sure they don't get too far ahead. My big concern with it is, you know, I wondered if Farhad Moshiri suddenly just went, whoa, let me look for that other 500 million back down the side of the sofa and just spend it. Now, he ain't got it anymore. But I'm not sure if that's advisable, because the story with Everton is deeper than PSR and points deductions. There's a story going on in the background with these guys, these 7-7 partners who have lent the football club a lot of money and yet aren't in a position to take over the football club. And they've lent them some more money again. And it's getting a bit messy, and it's really concerning. And that opens up the possibility of that to happen. And for all the moaning about PSR and all this and rah, 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 part of the reason as well is we don't want circumstances like what Everton are in at the moment. Everton are in a really, really dangerous financial position. Not on the, oh, Everton can't buy players. I mean, they're in a really, really dangerous financial position where there's a club trying to buy the football club who the Premier League will rightfully, in my opinion, not let them buy the football club. And yet that company is still ploughing money into the football club to basically cover operating costs. And at some point, the Premier League is going to go, you can't take over that football club. And this lot are going to go, thank you, we'll have our money back. I don't know what the deal with those loans are, right? And it's something Suj would be able to explain better than me, but I'm nervous for Everton. I'm nervous for Everton. Remember, I said 5 years of pain just passing year two for Everton. Who's next? Josh Turville says, hi, James. What's the latest on the Edison injury? Would you sell for Ortega if on bench boost for 87? We've got to wait for info, right? Yesterday afternoon, it was like Edison might be back for 37. Then last night, there was reports that he's back in full training. He's absolutely fine. Unfortunately, like it or not, you got to wait for what Pep says tomorrow. And if Pep don't give you no clarity, or unless there is some ITK clarity, which there may well be, you've just got to steer clear of it, mate. Like, if you've got Edison, leave it at the moment, unless there's some information. If you've already bought Ortega, next question. Owen Wilson says, I'm on free hit 37. Need to choose between Richarlison and Edison if he's fit, or KDB and Petrovic. What do you prefer? So, irrespective of whether he's fit or not, many of you will know I don't like the Edison. I just don't like it as a pick at all. Today, next week, next season, probably ever, I don't like it as a pick. So I've ignored what the other options you said were, and I'm just going to say not the Edison route. Dixie says, hi, James. What's a good rank now in FPL for engaged managers, and what is a disappointing rank? Cheers. There's no definition for that, mate. I'll tell you why. So let's say you're an engaged manager and, you know, you've been listening to content, you've been researching, you spend a lot of time on the game, but, you know, let's say your rank over the last 2-3 years has been 500K. And let's say that manager this time has got their highest ever rank, he's going to finish, let's say, 250K. I'm not going to tell that person that's a shit rank. No way. Flip that on its head. If you've got someone who has amazing historical rank, you know, top 100, top 1,000 or so in Hall of Fames, and historical, you know, never finished outside the top 50K, right, if they finish 60K, they're going to figure out they've had an awful FPL season. So I it's circumstantial by individual. I think personally, if you just want me to put a line on it, I would say genuinely my opinion, and I think probably the majority of content creators would disagree with this, but I care about rank way less than many others do. I think a top 100K finish is really good now because it's getting really competitive. You can't look at like top 100K from 8 years ago to top 100K and now as a whole different game. Top 100K now, in my opinion, is a really good rank. Personally, I feel top 200K is reasonable. And then it starts dipping from there. You know, I think top 50K now is outstanding. And top 10K now is, frankly, is unbelievable for those who achieve it. And, you know, tip my hat, right? So, but why do we have to define this? Is it so people achieve targets or not? I mean, you yourself will presumably have had a target of what you wanted to do in pre-season. My target's the same every year. It's my best ever rank was 21K. I'd like to beat that. But inside, I think top 100K is a really good rank now. And if I get that call, and as I just said, you know, I'm, where am I, at 180K or something, I'm kind of probably roughly where I expect to be. I just feel like it's reasonable. It's not great. It's not terrible. Yeah, so you're going to get different opinions on that. And I think even from individuals, people are going to set their own targets. I would never dream of telling someone that I want to finish top 250K this year and say to them, no, actually, mate, that's shit. I just wouldn't do that. And I don't think that's right. Yash says, yo, 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 Jamesy, boy, how are ya? Sancho masterclass last night. Did you say? No, not really. I was recording with Aaron Lagor last night for tomorrow's podcast, which is available for our patrons now, actually, on Leicester. We'll get that out early for you tomorrow. I was recording with Aaron for the first half. Then I took Harry to bed. I caught the last 25 minutes or so. And Jesus, both teams missed a shitload of chances. I don't know how that finished 1-0. That was the striking thing that came out of it for me. But no, I couldn't see anything in the game that made, oh, Sancho was unbelievable. But everybody has said he was great. And that's great. That's really encouraging to see. I'd seen the interview with Jamie Carragher, absolutely off his nuts, afterwards, which is amusing. But one of the things that people didn't mention about it much was Sancho, as far as we're aware, has had problems with mental health or confidence or similar nature when he was at Manchester United. He didn't have to do that interview. You know, I think anybody could have seen in that moment, it's not right here. And he might have felt a bit of pressure, maybe. But it was said afterwards, like, you know, the Dortmund PR team hadn't given him the thumbs up to do the interview. Maybe he felt like he had to. And that was possibly a bit uncomfortable for him. But he dealt with it fine. He dealt with the situation really fine. And I hope that people saw that in that moment, not just, oh, Jamie Carragher was funny being a nutter because he'd had a few too many to drink. And that's fine, by the way. But actually, in that moment, Jadon Sancho held himself together pretty well as well when he had to stand there for the best part of sort of 8 minutes under a situation that was clearly quite uncomfortable. And he dealt with it well. After what everyone says, a good performance. I'm pleased for him. I'm pleased for him that he's performed well, but I also can't, unfortunately, comment on it. Greg Frost says, have you ever run into Sam from FPL Family or Abby Summers at a Spurs game? Who's Abby Summers? Do I know Abby Summers? The name rings a bell. Is she like a DJ or something? The name rings a bell. Abby Summers, no. I've met Sam and Lee a few times when they've been at Spurs games. So, yeah, I've run into Sam a few times. They're lovely, them guys. Michael Scott says, hi, James. Is it worth switching Garnacho to KDB or Foden on a free and bench Gordon Son or play Garnacho and take two transfers into bench boost 37? Here's the thing with this one, Michael. I would suggest that there's every chance that you're going to end up going for Foden or KDB in 37 anyway. The fixture this week is great. Get on with it. That's different to the defensive ones. And some of the defensive ones you're looking at and you're going, I want to get the decision right for 37, but I don't know. Don't know where I want to go. Unless something unexpected happens in the title race this weekend, the chances are you're going to sit here this time next week and you're going to want to get Foden or KDB anyway. So I'll just get on with it. Ready Can Dance says, hi, James. What do you think of Slot as Liverpool's new manager? Do you think he'll be a success or a flop? I think he'll do well. I think it's a decent appointment. I think it was always going to be really difficult for Liverpool with whomever they picked because the previous manager was obviously exceptional, was created a legacy there. You may have just lost me briefly on connection. Apologies if you did so there. But I think Arne Slot is a decent appointment. All I would do to temper that and just say is, next year will be really difficult for Liverpool, and it would have been difficult for whomever came in the door. I used an analogy the other week on one of the podcasts when I said that even if Pep himself took over, you couldn't guarantee that next year would be successful for Liverpool because, as we've seen with United and Ferguson and Arsenal and Wenger, and this is similar, not to quite the same extent, but it's still going to feel like a major change replacing Jurgen Klopp in that dugout. And I don't see Liverpool challenging for the title next year. That would be my take. But I would not be at all surprised if they do the year after. And I think he'll probably do quite well. The definite thing I would definitely say to people is there's obviously a stigma around the Eredivisie at the moment and Ten Hag and what's not. Don't compare. That's not fair. That's not compare. Football is different. And you know, people do that are doing it probably to be spiteful, and Liverpool fans probably should take no notice of that. It doesn't mean he won't be a flop, by the way, but I think he'll do well. I did also think Erik ten Hag would do very well, though. Joe Pickle says, please, James, roll over for us. Also, I think Ortega is better than Edison. Would you agree as a neutral? Come on, Bournemouth. That's the first part of this. And then hopefully not. It's like completely wasting my time. I will probably watch the end of the Championship games tomorrow rather than Arsenal-Bournemouth because, well, what good is it going to do me? No, look, obviously, as a City fan, you'll have watched more of them than me, but no, I'm not of that opinion as yet, actually, no. I'm almost like, as I said on Monday, I'm almost like a closet Man City fan at the moment. I would prefer Edison to be in goal, so let me sell it like that. Stavros says, good afternoon, James. Regards from Cyprus, is it worth it to transfer out Bruno Fernandes for KDB? Not in my opinion, no. I'd hold fire on that. Daniel Cullerton says, who springs to mind when you think of current underrated Premier League players? Oof. So tough, because even in that sense, like, define underrated. So I was instantly thought of people from my own team. So I think, like, you know, Papi Sarr's really, he's had a difficult month or so because he's been carrying a problem, but, like, really stepped up beyond expectation this season. Really good. I would say underrated. Then the next name, when I was thinking about other clubs, the first name that came into my head was Adam Wharton. Can't tell you why, but that's the first name that came into my head. Massively impressed since he's gone now. And he might be underneath people's radar because he's at Crystal Palace and it's less fashionable. And I thought about it more and I think, I actually know most people who know ball are already on this, saying this guy looks like a real talent, looks like a good footballer. I've already said, you know, expect him to pretty much probably be in the first England squad after the Euros. So a lot of people are kind of already on that. So even that's difficult. Like, how do we define underrated or not? So, different example. Let's use a fantasy analogy, is one that's just come into my head. Brian Boomer, right? Now, ask most FPL managers, and I think they would not underrate Brian Boomo. But if you speak to most non-fantasy interested, I bet they'd probably still underrate the abilities of Brian Boomo. So even within conversations, like, how do you define that stuff? Samson Alabi says, hi, James. If you're chasing, who are the best differential captaincy for the remaining game weeks? 37 is your one. And a 38, I don't think it's this week to be doing that. I think 37, you can take Haaland on with your Palmers, your Isaacs, your Sons, your Fernandeses, whatever you want to do in there. And 38, you can just swing for the trees with whoever you want. This week, I wouldn't necessarily do it because I do think there is an outstanding one this week. I'd say to you, Palmer, like, how differential is that? You want me to say someone like Boomo? Or like Morgan Gibbs White or Chris Wood, KDB. Sure, there's a shitload of good options this week, but there is one outstanding one, I think. And I wouldn't want to take it on this week. So perhaps the more better advice would be, you don't have to do it this week, especially in a double. You could make up big ground, right? If it goes your way. And then 38, you know, swing for whatever, mate. Right, I'm going to cover two more because I can see I've been going for an hour. Ready Can Dance is also, James, my bench boost defenders and goalkeeper, 37, Raya, Gabriel, Reguilon. Are there any defensive doublers that are worth doing a minus 4-4? Or would you just play the single game with players? What if Brentford got 37, Bournemouth away? I mean, look, Reguilon's got 6 assists since he went there. If I offered you a 4 or 5-pointer now for Reguilon, you'd take that. You'd take it. Is anyone worth it? Again, see how you feel this time next week. But the answer to that question isn't now, is it? I mean, Arsenal and Reguilon are both perfectly reasonable to play this week. You're in a stronger position than many others who don't even have fit players. We'll finish with Tom. Tom, I saw you playing poker in Luton yesterday, mate. Well done. Good lay down that King Queen. It says, hi, James. If for sake of argument, Edison missed 36... and no clear news before 37, would you even bother spending a free transfer on a goalkeeper change for bench boost? Free transfer, so precious, and 38, a bigger priority. I'm not sure how 38 can be a bigger priority from that, particularly with a goalkeeper, because presumably you've got another one, right? So if that has to play in 38 instead, it plays instead. I think if Ortega was to play this week and then there's no clarity on Edison going into next week, I'd be moving him on. And I'll tell you why as well, because I think there will be more clarity on perhaps like the Petrovic situation and the Dubravka situation that might allow that sort of thing. Onana, Vicario, your other options. The other obvious one, Tom, as I said to someone else, like, if you want to deal with it now, just buy Raya now. Okay, thanks everyone. Sorry to those who have not got through on questions, but I hope that's covered off the majority of stuff for you. If anyone wants to tag me on Twitter with their question because I didn't answer it, feel free to tag me on Twitter and I might even quote tweet it and answer it for everybody else as well. If you slide in my DMs, it probably will just get deleted because unfortunately it opens up a gateway where people think that they can message me every day with questions and I can't be dealing with that, unfortunately. But if people do DM me because they want to have general chit chat or have concerns about serious things, way more important than FPL, such as mental health concerns, please feel free to DM me. I guarantee you I will respond. If you send me a tweet about your team and say thoughts, I'm just going to delete it. So tag me on Twitter. I'll happily answer your question. As said, tomorrow, FanView podcast on Leicester City with myself and Aaron Lagor. That's about 45-minute viewing for you. That'll be out sort of lunchtime-ish tomorrow. Deadline stream goes ahead tomorrow, 5:30 p.m. UK time. And for our patrons today, we've got a podcast I'll be recording very shortly with Clayton on the abolishment of FA Cup replays, the runner-up from Tuesday's People's Poll vote. We also have our Game Week 36 preview tomorrow as well. If you want to support the show, it's www.patreon.com/planetFPL. And also just a reminder for everyone as well, or perhaps not a reminder, more a prompt, that the Game Week Review podcast next week will be on Tuesday. But it's a bank holiday in the UK on Monday, and therefore I'm going to take the day off. So after tomorrow's content, we'll be back on Tuesday. Just leave me to say thanks very much, everyone who's contributed on in the chat. Smash a like, hit the sub button, and for the benefit of those on the audio, cue music, please. Manchild.
Sports Social Podcast Network.